about hoda'ah and thankfulness with the song Tov Leodot Hashem. So it is gratitude. It's a beautiful psalm. It's talking about thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu. But there's also a historical reason why we're starting with that particular psalm. So what about it, David? Because who wrote Psalms? David. And David, of course, who is a third picture here, is the sweet singer of Israel. And
are these new notes?
What?
Are these new notes?
Yes, the new notes, indeed.
Cool.
And David wrote the first Jewish book that's all about gratitude, right? There's no one who revolutionized the world of prayer like David HaMelech. And he all the time talks about gratitude. So I would have thought, yes, that's the right answer. It's because David HaMelech is all about thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu. But actually...
I know.
Yeah?
Who's the lady who couldn't have a kid who went to Eliezer and her mouth was...
That's Chana. And she taught us prayer. And she does have a chapter about gratitude at the end of the story there in Shmuel Aleph. So we could have put her on this tour sheet.
And you could have.
And Nachon, and I might have guessed, very good, the Midrash says that who is the first person to express gratitude? Leah.
Because she got an extra...
Yeah. Leah, because, I think we've learned this together, Leah called Yehuda, from a language of thankfulness, Yehuda, because she knew she was going to have 3 children. If there's 12 tribes, she's one of them. And then when she got a 4th child, Yehuda, she was thankful. And so the Midrash says she was the first person to ever express gratitude. Because the essence of gratitude, the Midrash is teaching us, is surprise. Is when you're surprised, wow. And if you take everything as a given, that you deserve everything, then you're not truly... You may recognize that you have what to be thankful for, but you won't... feel, you don't tap into the joy of gratitude, of being surprised. So the Midrash, I think, is teaching us that Leah taught us that gratitude is deeply connected to being surprised by the Chaste Hashem. And I would have said that, and that is a beautiful, thank you for reminding me of that. But no, actually, because if you guys know my shiurs, I always like going in chronological order. There's an earlier source of the first time that gratitude is expressed.
Eliezer?
Not Eliezer, although you're right. Eliezer says thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the kindnesses of sending Rivka, and he openly expresses gratitude. And I should have put him in the source sheet, but you're right. He historically, on a pshat level, is either number one or number two in the text. But I'm not referring to Pshat, I'm referring to a Midrash. There's a Midrash which teaches us the first time that gratitude was ever expressed. Korban probably could be connected to gratitude, so maybe you could say Cain and Hevel or Noah, perhaps. But no, it goes earlier. Adam, very good. Adam Arishon, who not coincidentally is also the same neshama as David HaMelech, right? He gave 70 years of his life to David HaMelech, according to the Kabbalah and Midrash. So when was the first time that gratitude was ever expressed? On the 6th day of creation, when Adam HaRishon was created and sinned, and then suddenly he sees the sun coming down. The sun setting, and he's never seen a sunset before. And he just sinned. So what does he think? It's all over. We're all going to die. That's the end of the world. The sun's coming down. And then the sun comes down and it's Shabbos. And he's still alive. And he feels an incredible expression of, wow, I'm alive. And he felt Tov Leodot Lashem in the psalm that King David later writes called Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbat. That's why this source, you see Adam expressing wow thankfulness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mizmor Shir. The first moment of gratitude ever was when Adam was just excited to be alive. Right? So that's a pretty amazing thing, that the first time we encounter gratitude is just, wow, I'm alive. And this idea of there's hope. I may have messed up, but there's still hope. And it's also very connected to Shabbos. which is our most tangible, or one of our most tangible ways of bringing gratitude into our lives, is through Shabbos Kodesh. And Shabbos is the day when we stop acting, we start appreciating, we start living, we start just like not trying to change the world, but just trying to be happy with the world. And it's amazing that the first time we encounter Hakarat HaTov is on Shabbos Kodesh. Pretty cool. But all that is a midrash, okay? Just to be, but it's a beautiful image, okay? And you can think of that next time you sing Mizmor, Mizmor, Shir, Shir Liyom HaShabbat, and you say Tov Lo Dot LaShem. Think of that Adam Rishon, first moment of gratitude in the universe. Okay. Now, we've already mentioned a few sources in the Bible of explicit mentionings of gratitude. One of the more famous and one of the earliest mentions of gratitude from one of our avos is also a song, and I sent you guys in the WhatsApp group. Katonti mikol hachasadim, Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu says, not, he doesn't say the word I'm thankful, but rather he says, I have been made small. I'm humbled by all of the kindnesses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for me. Okay, and what's the context? Yaakov Avinu sees the angels of Esav, the men of war of Esav, who are going to attack him. And what would we think would be the natural, you know, prayer that Yaakov would say?
Don't let him kill me.
Don't let him kill me. And in fact, he does say that. Chapter 36, he says, Hatzileni na. Hatzileni na. Hatzileni na. Save me. Save me. That's what we would expect Yaakov Avinu to express. But surprisingly, before he expresses, you know, a plea for life, he first says, thank you. Thank you, God, for everything that you have done for me. Katonti mikol hachasidim mikol ha'amet asher sita ifim abdecha. Because it's a beautiful, one of the first expressions of Hakarat HaTov from one of the avos, is dafka when your natural thing is to scream out to God to say, wait, but first, thank you. Okay? You with me? Beautiful. And this brings me to my moment of gratitude of the week, which actually happened to me last night. Very beautiful moment for me. It was an interesting day, complex day. And I sat down a little bit to prepare this shiur. I mean, truth is, I've been preparing this shiur for a long time, but I was looking for some deeper Jewish material about how Torah sources take the concept of gratitude and make it more than just, you know, it's nice for positivity. So, but I didn't have anything in particular in mind, and I opened up one of my favorite books, Living Emuna, by Rav David Ashir, and I opened it up randomly, as is my custom, and the book's not about gratitude specifically, it's just about miracles and Emuna and stuff like that. And page 60, I turned to page 59, and this is what I turned to. First thank, and then ask. Okay? So, during a day when, you know, maybe I wanted to ask for a lot of stuff, a lot of prayers on my mind, the chapter I turned to was first thank and then ask. And in this chapter, there were two really beautiful stories about this concept of Yaakov Avinu, that before we ask for something from God, let's appreciate all the blessings in our life. Okay? So that was a pretty amazing moment of thanks for me from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I felt like during a little bit of a hard time, he was giving me this hug and saying, you know, first thank. And yeah, it was really beautiful. So let me tell you guys the story, or if we have time, maybe I'll tell you too, in this book. So Rabbi Ben Zion Sene was once teaching about this concept of Katon Dimikol Chasadim, and he told over the following story. At one point in his life, he was resigned to the fact that he, make space for Aaron, that he would lose one ear. His ear was causing him terrible pain, and And they had to do an operation, but in order to heal him, he's going to for sure basically lose one of his ears. So he's in the hospital, and he had some time. So he took a walk around this hospital, and he saw people there with no legs and no arms. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go through my entire body and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I have arms, I have legs. You know, it could be worse.
Feet,
one ear is not...
Fingers.
Fingers, everything.
Ears,
mamish.
Eyes,
breath,
nose.
Lungs, right?
Teeth is a good one.
Alaykum shalom, teeth, mamish.
Fine.
Yes, and this is what he did. This is exactly what he did. And then, as all the good stories always end, the doctor comes out and tells him, your God really likes you. This doesn't make any sense, but new scans... We found a new way of treating it. You're gonna have 85% hearing, and no surgery. So,
cool.
Mom, that's a beautiful example of when you first say thank you to God for all the blessings in your life, and then you ask for the request that can draw down the blessings upon you. There's another story here right next to it, also very beautiful, very touching. There was a couple. And they were trying for many years to have children. And Chana and Elchanan, so they reached out to this organization which helps with infertility. And basically, the only chance they had to have a child was a very expensive doctor. And their odds were extremely low. But they said, please, please, we want to do it. And the organization, to their credit, said, fine, if you want to do it, we'll do it. And it was going to cost $250,000. Just to raise the money for this doctor, but the doctor was so touched by the story that he waived the usual costs, and they did the operation or the treatment, and it didn't work. So the rabbi said it was like the hardest moment of his life. He told Chana, she was crying, and she was so sad, and that was that. And the husband Elchanan, that night was in such a dark haze of like, what's happening? And he drove around to get clarity, gets home at night. And what does he see? His table is set beautifully by his wife. And his wife said, listen, this is one stage of our life, trying to have children. Let's end it on a high. Let's say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we have each other. And let's not kvetch. And they had a beautiful meal. And of course, like all the good stories end, now he has a baby boy. The next morning, the doctor called him up and said, you know, it's we found a new way to do it. I heard a similar type of story where the rabbi said, not only you have to thank God for decreeing that you're not going to have children, because obviously he doesn't want you to have children. That's exactly what you need. So thank him for exactly what you don't want. That you have to thank, you have to go out of your way and say thank you to God for the thing you don't want, because that's what God said.
Rabbi Nachman, look at tomorrow. When you thank God for the thing you don't want, then it opens one up to receive the thing.
Exactly. We're going to talk a little bit about Chassidus, but beautiful. But anyways, so that was what I read last night, and that was just on that topic of thank and then ask. And that was what I read last night, so I was happy to share that with you. Okay, getting back into just the Chumash examples of gratitude and not gratitude. So really, these parshiot in the Torah, that's the running theme throughout Sefer Bamidbar. Last week, we had the situation with the Jewish people complaining about the lack of water, the lack of food, the manna. We had this snakes who are coming and attacking them. We have the manna, whose whole idea is to teach us that not by bread alone does man live, but by the breath of the Lord, as Devarim 8:23 says. And we had all these miracles happening in order to inculcate this core belief for the Jewish people of being grateful. And unfortunately, with the sin of the spies, basically, it came down to ingratitude, and that was the reason why they wouldn't be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, we're seeing from our parshiot that this is not just a theme of the Torah. You could say it's perhaps the biggest theme of the Torah is to be grateful. Right? In fact, if you think about it, all of our holidays, Shabbos, Sukkot, they're all about being grateful for the miracles that God did. I once heard a cute joke, a rabbi joke. So, but it's also nice to our Torah. Why is it that on we celebrate Sukkot and we don't? What happened on Sukkot? Because there was clouds. Okay, there was clouds that led the Jewish people. But there are many miracles that happened to the Jewish people over the course of the desert. So why do we celebrate Sukkot specifically because of the clouds? The answer is because the Jewish people never complained about the clouds. They complained about everything else. The fact that the Jewish people could have something and not complain, it's worth making a holiday over that. Just for that alone, we should celebrate Sukkot. They didn't complain about something. So it's funny. We struggle with this, as you know, because I guess, I don't know why, it's our tikkun to be grateful. But it's not natural for us. We want more, but we gotta learn. We gotta learn. That's our tikkun. So that's a few examples of gratitude in Chumash. Of course, the Torah commands us. We went through this. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem lekachem. You should be happy and rejoice and be thankful in the holidays. So gratitude and joy are linked together by the Torah itself, as gratitude being an extremely important link in order to have joy. Okay, that's Chumash. What about Mishnayos? It's a very famous Mishnah, which I'm sure all of us... I should. Absolutely. I should have an extra copy. Take this for now. Yeah. Well, the truth is there are tens and probably hundreds of stories which talk about gratitude in the Gemara. But there's a particular Mishnah, which many people know, about how to be rich, which I think maybe the most famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. That's Ezu Ashir, who is the rich man? The one who's happy with his lot. So this is the key to being rich, Osher, inner joy. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos teaches us is to be happy with your specific portion, with exactly what Hashem has given you, whether you wanted that lechadchila or not. If you're in this situation, clearly that's what God wanted to give to you, and your obligation is to rejoice.
It's so interesting because I was watching YouTube on these mega yachts. These boats fast. So every year in Miami, big yacht shows come down and the boats are like sitting. It's unbelievable. Mm. So they're saying a lot of these billionaires that have these boats, every couple of years they need to upgrade to something bigger and bigger.
Right.
And like, you know, more gadgets, more this and more that. And it's amazing. These are the richest people on the planet. Yet they are clearly not happy with what they have.
Right, exactly. So and that's what the Gemara says too. The one who has 50 always wants 100.
Because they see something else.
Yeah, they need to always.
Right, and that's, we know this psychologically. We know this from the Torah that our brain has a set point. We get used to everything. It's kind of silly to just try to keep going better. It's not going to make us happier.
And also, there was about the homes.
Would you like?
They have multiple homes. They can never live. You know, they only spend a couple of days or a couple of weeks in each place.
Right.
And they're always doing that. They can't have friends. Because you're always on the move. So, and they can't even discuss these problems with other people, like regular people, because, you know, they'll feel like almost embarrassed.
Right, that they're not happy about it.
This lifestyle.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the irony of it all.
Yeah. Well, finally, the world is waking up to the fact that money is not the key to true happiness. There are more important ways. And I heard a beautiful quote by Ben Stein, who's very flippy. And he says, people used to ask him, you know, for advice to how to get rich fast. And he would say, you know what, I don't really know the answer about how to get rich fast, but I can tell you a much better investment. Just invest in appreciation. Because money won't guarantee you joy. But if you spend more of your efforts in investing and being a more appreciative, happy person, you will definitely be a happier person. So I thought that was a very nice way of echoing this idea in Pirkei Avot. The Gemara in Brachos takes us even a step further, a step even more challenging, like we've been talking about. And the Gemara in Brachos says, Chayev Adam, a person is obligated to thank Hashem, I'll paraphrase it, for the good in the same way, for the bad in the same way as the good. Perhaps not with the same exact enthusiasm, but we are obligated, at least on an intellectual level, to recognize that even the hard challenging things that happen to us in life are also for the good, or as we say, gam zula tova. I mentioned last week, Shulchan Aruch says a person should always be reminding himself, this too is for the good. And we have the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, who died with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad on his lips, saying that even if the Romans are killing me right now, I see everything as one. Everything as for the good. Everything, I see it all as part of Hashem's plan. So this is obviously connected to our Amunah Shir, but something that the Gemara is taking another step higher. Not just to be thankful for the good things, but even to be thankful for the challenging things in life.
I see there's a different way to thank God for the good and the bad in the same way. It's to be depressed all the time. And that way you're thanking Him in the same depressed tone.
Very funny.
I've seen people who have this low attitude all the time. Like this attitude. Oh, it's okay.
They lower their expectations a little bit so that they won't be disappointed. Okay, that's one path, but I'm saying a different path, which is a challenging path. To be excited, really excited. To be really excited about when bad things happen to you is not easy. But to be able to intellectually say, God, I recognize that this is for my good and I appreciate that, that is achievable by anyone. You can become a gadol in that. Even if emotionally, to really come to a place of tranquility with challenging times is a lifetime work. It's not simple.
I think, recognizing life as experiences rather than a situation.
It's a good way. That's a good way of putting it. Okay, just to touch upon a few more highlights in the world of Judaism and gratitude. So the Rambam famously writes in Hilchos Deos, I'm moving to the second page here, I didn't put a picture of the Rambam, you've seen it before. The Rambam says, how do you want to love Hashem?
What is the picture at the bottom?
That's the manna. That's the man falling from the heavens, which teaches us to be grateful for every piece of bread, and not by bread alone does man live, but by the breath of the Lord. So Hashem is trying to teach us the concept of gratitude.
How about the apple?
The apple with Adam and Chava, one could talk about. Yes, so we'll go there in one second, but I just wanted to finish with the Rambam. The Rambam said, you want to love Hashem? There's a golden highway. How do you get there? Gratitude. The more we tap into thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and seeing the beauties of nature, seeing the beauties of the world, that's the way to come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he writes. Similarly, Rav Bachya Ibn Pekuda in the Chovas al Vavot has an entire chapter. It's a very famous chapter, very long.
Even the way to love Hashem is to get to know Hashem. Isn't that also...
There are many paths, but I think the Rama might say that one of the ways to get to know Hashem is to study His beautiful works and to appreciate His beautiful works. Okay? The Chovat HaLevavot writes that as often as possible, whenever you can, try to think grateful thoughts. That is the path to coming to love Hashem. And he talks about the obligation, not the nice thing, but the obligation that we have in order to enter into the service of God, of gratitude. That is a stepping stone to everything, so to speak, when it comes to having a relationship with Hashem. Another famous angle on Hakarat HaTov is the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch mentions what Rabbi Nachman also mentions later, which is the concept that there's a cycle. There's a rock cycle, there's a water cycle, there's an oxygen cycle. So there's the gratitude cycle. Okay? And it's cool. So it works like this. God wants to give you blessing. But He only wants to give blessing to someone who recognizes the good. So then you express gratitude for the good, and then that opens up the gates for God to give more blessing. And then you can recognize the good again. You see, it's a cycle of gratitude.
Yeah.
It's like me and the watermelon with my friends. If they express gratitude, so I want to give them more watermelon. And if they don't, then the cycle ends. Right? So
I was grateful today, like the 7 chakras of home. The it hasn't been something that I've been so into, like governing. I started doing my feelings as a friend of mine died. And I thought he was the one who took me to shul and phoned every day, Daniel, will you come to help with the minion? So I thought, let me just do this. So I started putting on tefillin, and then I started saying Shema, and then I started saying Amida and Shema. And, so I done shacharis this morning, then I came. I couldn't get the car done, but I went to Yeshivat Aspra. I arrived in time for the minion, for Mincha. I haven't done in a minion on a weekday since, like, ages. And then we learned some Torah, and I was so grateful to be in the minion firstly. It's like I've been here once since long. And the learning is also one of the things that really inspired me to see
him involved. Mitzvah domino effect. Mitzvah, yeah. Guerrero's mitzvah.
And then I came, yeah, like it's just.
Who knows what's next?
Yeah.
Now you're expressing gratitude for it. There's not the shim. I always bring a kippah. Yes. Grateful you asked. I feel. That's really good. If that one doesn't work, I have another one. Okay. Let me know. Good. Beautiful. So Sefer HaChinuch talks about the gratitude cycle. Okay? Now, Aaron, you mentioned, you noticed my little apple. Can you guess what's that apple about? Why do we have an apple? We're talking about Judaism and Jewish practice. And
you've got to thank the tree.
I like all your answers. Okay, I'm going to give you three answers for one little picture. Answer number one, Yoni says, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Shlomo always
talks.
It's true. It's a good question. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Shlomo says, is all about recognizing that a kol b'chesed chinam. We start off our year recognizing that all of life is a gift. We're not privileged to it. We don't deserve it. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's Rosh Shlomo Karlbach. In his Sefer, I'm happy to show it to you. Chesed Chinam, it's all the essence of Rosh Hashanah. It's reminding yourself that all of life is a gift. It's the essence of all religion. Rav Jonathan Sacks says that's religion. We want religion? Sustained meditation on gratitude. A way of appreciating life in a way that continues. That's the essence of making a bracha on life. Speaking of brachot, brachas, apples, you make a bracha on apples, right? So I think bracha is Chazal's genius way of inculcating gratitude into our lives. It's 100 blessings a day, with 100 ways of finding, not in a very practical, habitual way, finding gratitude. And I'm not going to talk so much about it because we have a whole class talking about blessings and food and stuff like that. And finally, you could say the apple brings, even though, no, it's not really an apple, but it brings us back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Chava, and they weren't grateful for the blessings that God gave them. And that's why our whole tikkun in life, our whole fixing in life, is to be grateful. So maybe that's what the apple is about. What else in Jewish practice reminds us of this concept of to be grateful? Brachot, okay, yeah, we mentioned that, very good. That's Asher Yatzar is another example of
Psalms.
Psalms is all about gratitude and Hallel and thanking God for all. Very good.
The picture of Mode Ani.
Aaron's a smart one. Saying Mode Ani every day is our way, and so beautifully connects to what we talked about, habits. You want to make a habit? Connect it to something you do always right away. So we always wake up in the morning. Chazal said, oh, so then let's say Mode Ani. It wasn't Chazal, but it developed a minhag. First of Lakan Shema, then Mode Ani, to thank Hashem right at the beginning of our day. In essence, saying the essence of a Jew is thankfulness. That's why we're a Yehudi. That's why we should define ourselves. Last week we said we should define ourselves as happy people. We should also define ourselves as Yehudim, which means grateful people. My core, my essence, is I'm gratitude. I am a thanker. Imagine if every Jew went around with like a big t-shirt that said, I'm Jewish, I'm a thanker. That's my mission in life. To look for opportunities to thank God and to thank people.
Can we learn those three attributes, like for Jews, kindness, and bashful, and what's the third one?
I don't remember offhand. I don't think Great Gratitude made that list.
No, it didn't.
We'll have to make our own list. Make a new list. We can make that. I think gratitude is connected with many other... humility, for example. You know, it's very, very connected. And the fact that the Jewish people have been called Yehudi after Yehuda, many have pointed out, is providential. And a way of showing us that our tikkun in life is to be looking constantly for thankfulness. So Modani is a beautiful way. And by the way, you don't have to say Modani just in the morning. Whenever you're feeling thankful for life, you can always have a wake me up Modani. So obviously we could go on and on and on and on. There's a million examples of thankfulness in our religion. One example which I find beautiful is the Korban Todah. Because the Gemara says, when Mashiach comes, there's only one Korban which we're going to bring. The Korban Todah. Okay? So, sorry for all you gluten-free people. Have a lot of bread. But, and meat. Sorry for me, the vegetarian. But the idea I always understood from that midrash is that ultimately messianic consciousness is about changing ourselves from a complaining perspective and going into a gratitude perspective. That is what will bring Mashiach, and maybe that is Mashiach. That is the whole essence of messianic. Maybe that relates to the Gemara, which talks about how Chizkiyah was supposed to be the Mashiach after the whole miracle when the Assyrians died, but he didn't sing Hallel. He didn't say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since Mashiach's essence from Yehuda is gratitude, how can you be the Mashiach without expressing gratitude? That's the whole essence of Messianic consciousness. And when we go into a gratitude consciousness, we are in a little bit of Mashiach. A little bit of Mashiach we're bringing down to the world. Yeah? Okay, three more examples of Jewish practice of, Jewish thoughts. Maybe I'll throw, and then I'll throw in a Hasidic story to end us off before our next segment. So another example is Dayenu. Okay, in the Pesach prayers and Pesach Haggadah, we have this beautiful song, which doesn't make any sense. If you actually read the words, it says, if God would have taken us out of Egypt, but he wouldn't have given us the Torah, it would have been enough. Really? It would have been enough? It wouldn't have been enough. We wouldn't have had a Torah. If he would have taken us to Israel, it would have been enough. No, wouldn't have. The whole point was to go to Israel. It wouldn't have been enough. But what's the pshat? It would have been enough to say thank you. Right? So the essence of Dayin is saying it doesn't have to be perfect to say thank you. It's okay if we're not yet perfect, but we got to always say thank you. At every step in the way, at every stage in the journey. Okay, can anybody guess?
For bringing me to this point.
I'm in. Is that the who can guess what this guy's all about? What's the screaming dude? What is he teaching us about gratitude? Very good. Sarah's teaching us. That is a breath of her right there. He is doing his bodedut. He's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And something Rabbi Nachman talks about all the time is the importance of saying thank you to Hashem. And that is the gate, the highest, the gate that opens up all the gates of salvation, is to say thank you. And of course, breath of her have a practice of going out every single day and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Personally, I actually, since I've been a little kid, have a little practice. I've tweaked it over the years, but it's been so helpful to me. It's a tweaked version of Pete Bordedut. I want to teach it to you guys right now. So it's called the GPS model, okay? So what's GPS? It gets you where you are when you're lost in life. Through GPS, it gets you where to... Yeah, exactly, and it gets you where you need to go. So what's the GPS of a Yid? What's the GPS of a person, truthfully? It's not just a Jew. What's our GPS? So the GPS is gratitude. First off, when you know, what do? You say thank you to Hashem. And at the end of my Shemona Esrei every day, I try to do a GPS. I say thank you to Hashem for one new thing. I try to find something surprising that happened in my day and make a ritual at the end of my Shemona Esrei at Elokan Shema. Say thank you. And then afterwards, I ask for something, I pray, and then I say sorry. I look for something in my day. You could do this as part of Eat the Buddha did. You can do this once a day. You can do this three times a day. Whatever. You do it just on Shabbos. That's what I used to do when I was a kid. I have a little tree and do gratitude by it. But it has done wonders for me. Having that structure, knowing I have a mission now to do my GPS, gets me excited to daven my Shemona Esrei every day.
Sorry.
What? Sorry. At some point in my day, I probably did something that could have been done a little better.
I put these things in the middle, like Shmatalainu.
That works too. It just doesn't work with the model of the GPS. You can do that too. I do that too. It just happens to be that I like putting it all together.
So what do you do if there's something, like, do you recognize something specific? Because, like, I just do it as a general thing.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
The whole goal here is that you need to get specific. I forgot to mention, there's a beautiful Maimer by Rabbi Pinkus. He talks about Birchot HaShachar are very specific. Because they talk about 15
morning
different
blessings.
Yeah, the morning blessings, 15 specific blessings, and it's teaching us that if you want to get into the juice of gratitude, you got to get specific. And that's also true on an interpersonal level. That if you want to really, you know, grow close to someone, don't just say, "Oh, thank you very much for the meal." Hey, thank you for the specific touch you put into the salad, or get as detailed and juicy as possible in order to tap into the real juice of gratitude. So that's also true with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We need to be specific. What?
It's more authentic.
More authentic, and also you feel it more. You're not just talking about it in general. We need to find ways to get our brain waves to actually, you know.
Yeah, but do I want to specifically go and look for things that I want to apologize for? Maybe.
Okay, so that's a personal question. A person needs to know. Some people talking about your sins all the time is not going to make them a better Jew. It's going to make them more scared of davening type of Jew. They're not going to look forward for davening. So I wouldn't recommend it for everyone. It's person by person. I personally don't mind, you know, telling God my mess ups all the time. But everyone's different. He doesn't tell anyone else. He keeps a secret. He doesn't tell the angels. But everyone's different. You know, that we'll talk about it in our prayer class. But right now, let's just focus on the gratitude that this is my personal way of inculcating gratitude into my personal life. Okay, and we'll end with a Hasidic story. Hasidus, perhaps more than anything else, stresses this concept of being grateful to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Nachman, of course, talks about it a lot, but all the Sfarim talk about. Musar also actually talks a lot. In the Musar movement, they talk a lot about gratitude and how important it is to be grateful. Rabbi Shaul Salanter talks about gratitude a lot. I have to tell you this one story. Once Rabbi Shaul Salanter was stuck in France, and he went to a restaurant, and he gets the bill for the pasta, and it's like an exorbitant fee. And he's like, "What's going on here? I don't understand." And he went to the waiter, and the waiter's like, I don't do good impressions. You have to understand, monsieur. Sorry to do properly. You're not just paying for the food. You're paying for the ambience. You're paying for the music. You're paying for the people doing the dishes. You're paying for everything. Okay? So, Rabbi Shaul Salanter said, he's right. Right? It was good musar. And he said, that's also true in life. I wake up every morning, I can't just thank Hashem for, you know, the watermelon. Thank Hashem for the oxygen. I have to thank Hashem for the trees. I have to thank Hashem for my body. Everything. It's all part of what the restaurant. So I forgot to mention, but the Muslim movement is really, really talks about the importance of being grateful. And they had gratitude chaburas where people would meet together and talk about just like we're doing. And they were really the first ones to take, you know, psychology and bring it into our lives. But I want to end with a Hasidic story. Maybe my favorite Hasidic story. I love this story. Okay, so the story goes like this. And it's just reiterating everything we're learning now. There's a little boy, and the Hasidim are walking in the fields and visiting the Rebbe, Rebbe Elimelech Milizinsk. And they see this little boy, and this little boy is so thin. Scary to watch how thin he is. And he is dancing. So the little boy is dancing, and the Hasidim are confused. Why is he dancing? And they say, "Little boy, why are you dancing?" And the little boy says, "I haven't eaten in 3 days." And they look at each other and they say, "And that's why you're dancing?" And he says, "You don't understand. I came out here to the fields and I started screaming at Hashem. I said, I'm 9 years old. What terrible sins could I have done to merit not having food, starving to death? I'm so hungry. How could you do this to me, God?" And then after he was done screaming for a while, he said, "But wait a second. Have I really thanked Hashem for all the blessings in my life? It's not right. I have my mom. I have my dad. I have this part of my body. I have that part of my body." On and on and on and on until he was singing and dancing out of gratitude. At the end of it all, he told the Hasidim, "And now I feel a little less hungry." Right? And I love that story. They ended up taking this boy and he ended up, you know, they fed him and he ended up becoming one of the greatest Hasidic Rebbes, Rav Menachem Mendel Miriminov. And the lesson is obvious. The lesson is when things are hard, the salvation itself is the Hakarat HaTov. When you are grateful, when you're thankful, when you're joyous and specifically thankful, that opens up all the gates of blessing. And again, dafka when it's hard, dafka when you don't feel like saying great thank you to Hashem, that's the challenge. That's the test. That's when all the angels in heaven are waiting to see if you're going to pass the test to be grateful and thankful even when it's not natural. And Hakarat is to recognize Hatov, to see the good, okay, to magnify the good. So that's part one of the solution here, which is some Torah teachings. And I want to move to part two, which is some psychological advantages from statistical analysis of Hakarat HaTov, of gratitude.